Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Monday, May 4th. So in the last few days, a number of colleges have announced their plans to reopen this fall in person. The list now includes Whitworth University, Baylor University, and Haverford College, as well as some others. Here's Brown University President Christina Paxson arguing that reopening college campuses this fall should be a national priority. She uses that term, national priority, for the well-being of students, but also of the economy.
Universities and colleges all over the country are major employers. We're some of the most stable employers that there are out there. And my fear is that if a lot of, especially small colleges, can't open, it will be very, very difficult for them to stay in business. And that will hurt their workforces. And it will also strand students who are partway through programs in colleges that can't continue.
Brown University President Christina Paxson on NPR last week. She said she plans to open school with the help of testing, contact tracing, and separating six students. Here's one more college president who's been in the news on this. Purdue President Mitch Daniels said on Good Morning America and lots of other media last week that he is determined to try to open in person and with a full student body at that Indiana campus in the fall. Students and faculty and staff total 50,000 people at Purdue on a relatively compact campus, if you've ever been there. He made the media rounds, not just GMA, to say he really wants to reopen despite the density. And yet Daniels, who some of you know is the former Republican governor of Indiana before Mike Pence, acknowledged on Good Morning America that there are hurdles with residence halls, dining facilities, class sizes, and older faculty and staff, and he admits he hasn't figured it out.
We don't pretend to have a plan yet, although we have many, many ideas, a faculty-led group, including some of really the world's premier biologists and public health experts, has been working on options. We'll be looking at them very soon.
Purdue University President Mitch Daniels last week on Good Morning America on ABC. So, good morning, college students. What do you want your school to do? College faculty members and staff, how about you? Parents, where are you on this? To help take your calls is Lila Burke, reporter at Inside Higher Ed. Lila, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
How common would you say the determined attitudes of the presidents of Brown and Purdue are nationally at this moment?
I would say that it's obvious that, you know, with making the media rounds and everything else, the presidents of Brown and Purdue are perhaps you could say taking a more aggressive stance, but with the college presidents that I've talked to, I mean, everyone wants to open in person. If you think about it, that's really what colleges are. Many colleges that, you know, operate campuses, you know, are sort of primed to do. And there's a lot of fear, I think, about if there is an online semester in the fall, what students are going to think about that. Students, we've seen many students don't really enjoy learning online in this way. And there have been, you know, tuition strikes. Students are asking for discounts at some colleges where they're learning online. Actually, they're learning online everywhere. But students are sort of saying, you know, this isn't really the education that I want. This isn't the education that I paid for. And those are sort of you know, you could say they're only at a few institutions. Not every institution has that level of discontent among its students. But, you know, college presidents really do want to open in person. They're worried about tuition. They're worried about revenue. You know, I think what Christina Paxson says, which is that if colleges don't reopen in the fall, there could be many colleges, you know, that could be, especially smaller colleges, that could be sort of the end of them. I think that's an opinion that's sort of widely held. The question is just, is saving them worth, you know, the risk if it is sort of an unsafe situation.
And some universities have announced plans to reopen if it is deemed safe or depending on guidance from state and federal authorities. You know, I spoke to a Purdue parent who I happened to know yesterday, who, despite Daniels making the media rounds and being this national, we want to open guy, this Purdue parent said to me, it's been made clear to the families that they are still determining if they can do it. So are any universities or colleges out there right now saying, we are opening in person no matter what?
No, I would say no. You know, if you look closely at what college presidents are saying, what they're expressing to students, this is an intent to reopen. This is saying, you know, this is what we want. And so in a way, you know, it's sort of, this is what everyone wants. So the statement isn't that meaningful in that way, but every college is looking at contingency plans for, you know, maybe we'll have a semester with students on campus, but there's going to be changes. There's going to be no sports. Every student can get their own dorm room, something like that. And they're also looking at contingency plans for if it is, you know, truly unsafe for parents to return, or I'm sorry, for students to return. And I think college presidents, you know, acknowledge that a lot of this is out of their control. You know, they cannot determine what the public health landscape looks like in the fall. And they also can't determine what their governors and lawmakers are going to decide on the fall. You know, a college can say, we plan to reopen. And if their governor says, you know, institute some restrictions, it doesn't matter what the college says. You know, that's the law. So I think college presidents are very aware of this uncertainty, and students and parents should be too.
Dan in Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Brian. So yeah, I'm a Brooklyn College student. I'm a sociology major. I'm hopefully going to be finishing next year. And, you know, I would like nothing more than to be able to go back in person in the fall. But I know that that's just not realistic. I think we're going to be hit with like a second and possibly third wave of outbreaks that might be worse than the first. And I think that we have to be prepared for that. And believe me, like this, you know, since we switched to online classes, it's no one's fault. No, certainly no professor's fault, because who could have foreseen this? But the learning experience has been anemic. It's really hard to stay engaged, at least for me personally, between the stress of this situation emotionally and the disconnectedness and disjointedness of learning online. I also just wanted to note that my girlfriend is an adjunct professor at Parsons, and she is teaching online classes, but they are extremely sparsely attended because of student protests. They want a tuition refund. And so they're just not showing up to online classes. And I have my own opinions on that. I don't know how exactly to feel about that, but this is a real problem. But I think that the student community and the faculty have to just, you know, get our heads around the fact that this is not just going to go away in the fall. And that's not just for New York. I think that the entire country and beyond is in for second and third waves, and we have to emotionally and logistically prepare for that.
Dan, thank you so much for weighing in and helping us to report this story, really. Please call us again. And Lila from Inside Higher Ed, have you heard that Parsons type story before? Are students at other institutions, or if you can even confirm that one, demanding tuition refunds because of online rather than in-person learning?
Yes, that is happening. I hadn't heard about the Parsons example, but there are sort of protests and you know, these sort of tuition strikes happening. I know UChicago is a notable example, University of Chicago. And students at other institutions are looking at lawsuits in order to maybe get some money back. It's important to note that many colleges, though not all, have, you know, for students who were living on campus, have given back, you know, prorated room and board refunds. So many colleges.
So room and board because they're not living there, but in general, not tuition because they're still going to get those credits?
Yes. So colleges at this point are not, have not been giving tuition discounts for the semester that is currently ending, though that is something students have said they want. Colleges would say, you know, you are paying for the credits, and those credits add up to a degree, and the value of that degree has not diminished. And so we are not going to, you know, prorate your tuition. Whether that will happen in the fall if there is an online learning situation has sort of yet to be seen. I think it will sort of depend on, you know, if there is some early adopters or something like that, and, you know, maybe other colleges will follow. But right now they're sort of holding the line, so to speak.
John in Yonkers, you're on WNYC with Lila Burke from Inside Higher Ed as we talk about whether and how colleges will open in person in the fall. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. Say, I'm here with my brother-in-law, who's 64 years old, who's a cafeteria worker at a college. Now, he meets these college students every day, a couple hundred of them, face-to-face. And what do you do in that case? It's like, it's almost like going back to work is a death sentence.
What are colleges saying, Lila, that they will do about dining halls and about older faculty and staff?
Well, it really depends on the institution. I mean, at this point, a lot of colleges, you know, their dining staff, their custodial staff, while in some cases they are being, you know, they have sort of been told to go home, and they are being paid. In many cases, they've been laid off, or in cases where, you know, they usually don't work over the summer, they've been sort of let go early. And there's sort of a question about whether they will be invited back in the fall. Colleges, I think, as far as dining, are looking at continuing what they have now for students who remain on campus. Many colleges have allowed students who, you know, really have nowhere else to go. Maybe they're formerly homeless. Maybe they have a documented abuse history with their family to stay on campus. And in many of those cases, students are getting meals through this sort of grab-and-go system in dining halls. So, you know, they go to a dining hall, they pick up a prepackaged meal, and they can take it back to their dorm room or their apartment to eat. As far as older faculty and staff, I mean, I think it is different with faculty and with staff. Faculty might have an easier time, you know, being sort of working from home, being online. It really depends on the institution. You know, I've seen colleges where they have sort of said faculty, you know, will have to return, and it doesn't really matter if you're uncomfortable. You know, we will be focusing on social distancing and focusing on PPE, and we will be personal protective equipment, and we will be making sure you are safe. But, you know, if you want to be paid, you kind of have to show up. And then other colleges, I spoke with the president of William Jewell College in Missouri. They're saying they're not, you know, with their plan to reopen in person in the fall, they're not forcing any faculty or students to come onto campus, that faculty will have the option to continue teaching online as they have been. And even though their students are on campus, and maybe they can hold a lecture and ask their students to actually gather in person to watch that lecture. And that students who might not want to attend in-person classes because, you know, we think of students as being 18 to 22, but that's not always true.
Right.
Or students who might have underlying health conditions, that they might not want to return to classes, and making that option to continue in their classes online an option to them. So I think it really depends on the institution. Something I wanted to say, just because I mentioned the students who are on campus now, I mean, mm-hmm. those students who, you know, might have difficult home situations or might not have another home to go to, you know, they are sort of concerned about what's going to happen over the summer. It's not entirely clear at every institution whether they will be allowed to stay over the summer. And then also just what life is going to look like for them in the fall. Will they be allowed to, if colleges don't reopen, you know, if there is a stay-at-home online learning situation, whether those students will be able to stay on campus or not.
And about staying on campus and about the dorms in general, you mentioned before that some schools are going to have single rooms only, or at least they're thinking of that, no roommates. But, you know, it's common knowledge that the outbreak is most concentrated in three kinds of places: nursing homes or other long-term care facilities, jails or prisons, and meat processing plants. Why would college dorms with the density there, even one person per room, not become the epicenter number four?
I mean, that is certainly possible. You know, I'm not an epidemiologist, so I can't really, ascertain the risk in that situation. But I think colleges are, when they're talking about this, are sort of assuming that the situation, the public health situation, how far the disease has spread, is much better in the fall, and that also they will have access to testing, contact tracing, things like that. I know some universities are looking at apps to sort of trace where students are going and who they're coming into contact with. Those things aren't guaranteed. Colleges don't have those things right now, but they are looking into it. You know, with everything like this, these are things colleges are looking at, and we're sort of getting a look at what is potentially on the table. I spoke to a president of a college in Atlantic City who, you know, they don't have the inventory to put students in their own dorms right now, but they're looking at options of putting them in, you know, casino housing, for example, that would be sort of empty. I know Stanford University, one of the things they're considering, one of the many things they're considering, is holding classes, you know, outside in tents, which seems pretty radical. So nothing is certain. Colleges are talking about all of these things. It's very difficult to know what the public health situation is going to look like come late August, early September. Mm-hmm. And it's also hard to know, you know, it might be one way in late August, and that
and
will
another
allow students
way in
to,
the middle of the semester, right?
Yes, exactly. And then that could sort of lead to a toggling of methods, you know, in learning.
Right. I did hear from one college professor who said that they were being asked to devise academic plans for next semester in thirds. First third, second third, mm-hmm. third third of the term, so that if they need to go to distance learning or go to on-campus learning for any of those thirds and then toggle back the other way, that they'll have either scenario prepared for. So it's just an example of how extreme the planning is and how uncertain the planning is. Abby in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Abby.
Hi, Brian. So I kind of want to comment on a couple of things that have been talked about. I am a student at the new school, and we're in our last week of our semester right now. And they've pretty much told us to register for classes next year, but they haven't really told us what's going on. There's been talks from our professors about maybe doing a hybrid semester where we start the semester online and then transition into in-person classes. But there was a lot of strikes at the new school, too. A lot of students didn't want to pay their tuition or wanted tuition refunds. And there's been, like, pretty overarching message from our administrators, like, don't do that. We don't have the money. We can't do this. That's been interesting. And also, like, how much extra work this has been for our professors and our teachers to have to transition, and how, you know, they're already not being paid great. So They're having to take on all this extra work, but they're not getting any more money. It's been a really interesting transition.
Did you tell our screener that you're thinking of taking a leave of absence next semester?
I did. I mean, the talk between me and my friend
school have been, we don't really want to stay online, even though it's not really possible to go back in to in-person classes right now. And we're all thinking about taking a leave of absence because the online learning environment, while has been okay, is not really what we want to be doing.
I hear you. Abby, thank you so much for weighing in. Please call us again. We're almost out of time, Lila, but Abby raises so many issues. I wonder how big a discrepancy you're seeing in terms of pressure to reopen between private and public colleges and between better-off institutions and not better-off institutions, which could straddle public and private. Like President Paxson, the president of Brown University, in the clip that we played, made an economic argument for smaller or less well-off colleges. Brown, I imagine, has a very big endowment and could weather this, but just this weekend, Western Michigan University announced it will lay off 240 employees and cut pay for others. Ohio University's president and provost will both be taking 15% pay cuts and no bonus. I've seen that Franklin and Marshall College, Muhlenberg College, all reopening admissions in the last week because presumably students who are being admitted are not accepting the acceptances and filling up all the slots for the fall, although the Purdue University president did say on TV last week that they've got record acceptances of their acceptance. So for economically fringy schools who might serve economically more needy students, this is much more of a crisis than it is for the big names, right?
I would say so. I mean, tuition is part of every college and university's budget. So every college president, you know, is concerned about this and does want to reopen. Somewhere like Brown might survive if they didn't have a good semester, you're right. But, you know, it's obvious that they, tuition still very much matters to them. And I think that's part of why you see some of these statements is because students, incoming students, have been much more wary of committing to colleges right now. You know, they're thinking about taking a semester off. I mean, that sort of begs the question of what to do instead, since many gap year opportunities are presumably canceled. And with the unemployment that we have right now, it seems difficult to get a job. You know, that's one reason that colleges are looking at issuing these statements, is to reassure prospective students and parents. On the public-private line, I mean, it doesn't always add up to, you know, wealthier institutions and non-wealthier institutions, but publics are probably under somewhat different pressure with state funding likely going to take a cut. They are also, I think, under more pressure to, if their lawmakers, if their governor is saying we're going to reopen, to sort of go along with that plan.
I did hear from one public university professor who said there are deep budget cuts being projected at that particular state university campus. Are you seeing that? This is going to be the last question. Are you seeing that a lot yet? And how they're going to deal with it? What's going to get lost?
Many colleges are projecting pretty severe losses from tuition, from loss of sports revenue, from spring withdrawals that have already occurred, and from room and board refunds. I think it's pretty certain that there will be some, you know, cuts. I will say right now, it doesn't really seem like athletic budgets are being cut very much, but it does seem that there have been some layoffs, there have been some pay cuts, and I suspect there will be more. I don't have a crystal ball, but that's sort of what it seems like to me. And one last thing I just wanted to say is, you know, many, you know, we're talking about a certain type of college here. It's important to remember that many students start their careers at community colleges, and sometimes they go on to four-year colleges, and sometimes they don't. But what community colleges are going to look like in the fall is still very unclear, and that's important to also remember.
Lila Burke, reporter at Inside Higher Ed, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is obviously also a Daily Coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York, or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet at Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.